Okay.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. 1,000 apologies for Monday not making the connection. Actually, I recorded the whole show, and I asked Mitchell if we could archive the MP3, which he has verified appears to be there. So if you go to the Revolution Radio Archives, you can hear the show. Better yet, of course, is to watch the show if you go to BitChute channel Jim Fetzer or Scorpio of Brian and I had a solid 2 hour, no breaks, no distractions, discussion about this, and where during the course of our conversation played various clips from New Zealand, from Buffalo, which is based on New Zealand, and some, I think, from Nashville. Danny and I, of course, had done this very extensive thing about Allen, Texas. I'm baffled by the whole thing. I've probably done 50, maybe 100 shows with Scorpio in the past, and the idea that he and this guy, Mike Sledge, and this other guy, Clint Eastwood and Doors, he calls himself, should have taken after me and Brian and Danny. I mean, hammer and tongs. I put a link in the earlier or this one. I mean, it's there. You can track it down where they go after us and me in particular. But I mean, it is repulsive, probably the single most disgusting program I've ever heard broadcast anywhere. And this 200 minutes long, there must be 500 obscenities, maybe even 1,000 in the 200 minutes in a single sentence. He's piling one gross negative after another on me. I'm not going to repeat them. But if you hear his opening sentence, you get the idea. I mean, it's just astonishing and very, very painful for me, because I have in the past praise Scorpio to the sky as being such a thoughtful commentator, but I got to tell you, in this case, all three of them have lost it, and there's lots and lots of comments. You're welcome to add to it. If you go to my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, you'll find it all there. And I do recommend watching the video version. It was good of Scorpio to show up. And I gather Paul has told me that they have themselves declared a great victory that Scorpio defeated the two of us. I mean, it wasn't ganging up on Scorpio. These guys have been attacking all three of us, and frankly, the other two were so scurrilous, honest, I could not stomach having them on the air again. So it was good. Scorpio came. Take a look. Check it out. See what you think. I will take calls, by the way, the last half hour. And remember, this last couple of shows, because Mitchell got wiped out because of the weather in Virginia, I've been unable to do that. So I'll be happy to take calls the last segment on any of these subjects. Anything you want to talk about, I'm open to it. Now, I have a couple publications to share with you. One is about a book by a woman named Heather McDonald, where the review of the book I'm going to share, written by one Neil Kurtzman, When Race Trumps Merit, book review, is really putting a finger on what is maybe the crucial problem affecting America today, this idea of promoting equity or diversity. And by the way, equity is not equality. It's taken me a long time to appreciate why you're talking about equity. Equity is getting what's due to you. Equity, getting what's due to you. And that may be grossly disproportionate or unequal to what others may be entitled to. Thus, you have these absurd programs, agendas for reparations in California, giving millions to every black who happens to be a resident of a state that never was a slave state, from parties, taxpayers who never owned slaves, in a nation that heretofore, before all this racism and wokeness was introduced in a massive way beginning around 2014, though I saw it coming even when I was still on the Duluth campus of the University of Minnesota, political correctness was rearing its ugly head, and I saw from the beginning it was a form of censorship, self-censorship, compromising freedom of speech, where you're entitled to say any damn thing you wanted as long as, you know, you're not bringing about any actual harm, physical harm to anyone. Thus, you can't call out fire in a crowded theater because that could create a stampede and physical harm would ensue. But the fact of the matter is, what political correctness was extend that harm principle to merely hurt feelings, merely hurt feelings. It was a timidity requirement. They can't offend anyone's feelings. How absurd is that? That means all freedom of speech is compromised. Everything anyone says is going to offend somebody. Lyndon used to talk about how every political decision he made offended about half of the country. So, you know, he gave a lot of thought to the physical decision, the political decision he would make. And, of course, I'm not a fan of Lyndon Johnson, who was a mastermind behind the assassination of JFK, a dirty piece of work, but he was a master politician. Lyndon Johnson had the ability to size up a man and detect his strengths and weaknesses virtually on the spot. It was uncanny. He was a master manipulator, and he would brook no opposition to attaining the office he always wanted to be president of all the people. Well, somewhere along the line, political correctness ran completely amok And in a country that I regard as long since being virtually colorblind, where the ideal has always been treating everyone alike, where we have anti-discrimination laws, where we've indulged in affirmative action, we've gone out of our way to compensate for the sins, the historical sins of our past. Well, there's a political agenda here that insists that we're vehement racists, that whites have a superiority attitude, that every problem in society is caused by whites and bias and prejudice. It's all bullshit. It is bullshit. How many times have I talked about crime statistics showing that blacks overwhelmingly predominate in every category of crime? I mean overwhelmingly. With the exception of liquor offenses, where Native Americans prevail because they have a genetic incapacity to absorb alcohol. Well, country's being turned inside out in the name of equity. This is a part and parcel of DAs turning criminals out on the street. But when you commit a crime, you know, that's an objective matter. That's not a matter of subjective feeling or personal opinion. And what George Soros did was to do a brilliant discernment of the fall, the fissures in American society, to virtually surgically attack the weakest elements of our society and create chaos, chaos. Criminals back on the street, revolving door, no bail, blah, blah, not prosecuting shoplifting up to $950 in California. So now we have caravans pulling up to big department stores and looting them massively. This is what the Democrats have brought us, not to mention, of course, open borders, a whole nother matter where I believe we're witnessing an invasion. And I mean that literally. It's a military invasion. You got these young military men, physically fit, coming into the country in droves. It's not obvious because they're not carrying any weapons. Well, guess what? The Biden admin and non-law enforcement, non-defense department-related agencies have stockpiled around $4 billion worth of military weapons. Why in the world would the Environmental Protection Agency, for example, or the Social Security Administration need military weapons? And the answer, of course, they wouldn't. So this is just a camouflage. This is just an effort to stockpile those weapons so the army coming across the border can find where to arm itself with weapons stockpiled by the Biden administration and others. I bet this goes back to Obama. You're going to find, if there's ever a history told, if the nation survives and they actually have an honest history, you're going to find Barack Obama did more damage to this country than all other presidents combined. I mean, the idea is Obama, the best president we ever have, is so lunatic, so ridiculous. It reflects a total ignorance of our understanding what the hell he has done to this country. And I'm convinced it's because Michelle is a man with breast implants that we get all this tranny stuff. I mean, Joan Rivers told us, but I've documented it. I got it all over the place. We had this recent, you know, clip of Michelle dancing at Ellen DeGeneres and, I mean, it's obvious she's not a woman. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But they want to con the public. In fact, the Democrats are doing nothing but conning the public. Remember, it was Barack Obama nullified the Smith-Mund Act, which precluded the use of staged event, phony events within the United States that were only heretofore permitted without. By the Smith Modernization Act of 2012, just in time to bring us Sandy Hook. So I bring together groups of experts and we sort things out and we prove beyond a reasonable doubt, we prove Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, even the moon landing were fake. And how does the world's largest book distributor respond? By banning the books. All six of those books of mine have been banned. And remember, when people go after me, I'm very rarely reporting merely the results of my own research. That's why I bring together experts, the best experts I can put together to sort things out, because it minimizes the probability of making a mistake. The more experts, the less likely you're to commit a mistake. I mean, if they're bona fide and on the up and up, unlike the phony medical experts who've been promoted the COVID and the vax is safe and effective when it's anything but. Well, the consequences of putting people in governmental positions where they're formulating policies and making decisions that affect us all on the basis of their color or their gender, it's having catastrophic effects. And that's why this book, I think, is so important. So let me share with you this review. Neil Kurtzman. Heather McDonald's latest book is subtitled, How the Pursuit of Equity Sacrifices Excellence, Destroys Beauty, and Threatens Lives. It is such a tale of horrors that a number of alternative subtitles come to mind. Animal Farm Redux, How I Came to Love Big Brother, A Litany of Lunacy, 40 Years Before the Mast, Gone with the Wind, Were It Not Taken and Proscribed, A Confederacy of Dunces, Also Taken, How the West Was Undone, How All Daffy on the Western Front, The Descent of Man, it's in the public domain, Vanity Fair, also beyond copyright, The Knocking at the Gate, you get the idea. Ms. McDonald's book is close to a long suicide note, not for her, but for civilization. Like Gaul, it's divided into three parts, bookended by an introduction and overview at its start, and a few pages of conclusions at the end of the blood and gore that constitute the three parts. I intend no negative implication to her work, which is outstanding, but to her subject matter, which is a recitation of the cultural carnage littering society, like the aftermath of a magnitude 9 earthquake. And she's only reciting part of the saga that the casually educated elite is inflicting on the first world. Her book is limited to reciting the disastrous effects that the remedies forcibly administered to cure a disparate impact in science, the art, and the law, the three parts of the book have inflicted. She doesn't touch on the other pathologies that are destroying children under the guise of gender affirmation, while also demolishing free speech about sex and gender in general, or the deconstruction of language such that it's no longer a means of communication, or the fiscal wantonness that pervades a planet like a miasma. If she had touched on these melancholy subjects, the reader would have joined Brynhilde at the end of the Ring cycle. So, take a double dose of Prozac and read McDonald's detailed description of societal immolation. Disparate impact refers to the disproportionate representation of people of color in important positions in American life. These people, especially blacks, are thought to be underrepresented solely because of white privilege. No other explanation is tolerated. That blacks are underrepresented in the arts and sciences despite three decades of preferential treatment might suggest that an explanation other than white privilege merits consideration. offering such a suggestion in today's toxic environment will result in the charge of racism, an accusation that will cause a typical recipient of the epithet to wilt like a potato vine after the first frost. This reaction will be followed by groveling and then a confession akin to those elicited at one of Stalin's show trials. Ms. McDonald appears utterly fearless and untouched by the diversity arrows that cow ordinary people. She begins her declaration of reality by pointing out that despite all the preferential treatment granted to black students in STEM departments, there are still not enough students or graduates to fill the self-imposed quotas embraced by universities and Silicon Valley companies. These entities declare a goal impossible to meet, but in today's fabulous world, reality is less substance than a sigh. As blacks score lower on standardized tests, the response of academia is to eliminate these tests when they can't be eliminated like medical licensing exams. The test has been moved to pass-fail to remove any distinction of excellence which would fall unwantedly on whites or Asians. That one-third of black males have a felony conviction, and that 75% of all black births are out of wedlock are forbidden data when considering the reason for black underrepresentation. McDonald's book ends with 40 pages of references and notes which support her near heretical views. Medical schools, journals, professional organizations, and granting agencies were poleaxed by the murder of George Floyd. They have abandoned merit as if it were a rabid skunk. Preferential admittance of medical school to black and Hispanic applicants is now the rule. Underperformance by black and Hispanic residents is explained away as biased on the part of the evaluators. The suggestion that minority residents in a position with low evaluation were less good at their job than white or Asians was met with invective appropriate for Dr. Mengele. McDonald notes with directed irony, if preferences were not so key in engineering, diversity academic gatekeepers would not defend them as the only mechanism capable of producing diversity. Virtually every medical school, journal, professional organization, granting agency, and certifying group has jumped off the diversity bridge. Having a diversity requirement for cancer research, this is really happening, will not speed the fight against cancer. Medicine is not an easy discipline. Doctors who are hurled at the public with little regard for their competence will have a predictable effect on medical care. Caveat emptor. The rest of science has gone equally berserk as her medical counterparts. Education in the U.S. is bad enough. Adding diversity to it, rather than increasing better teaching or curing social pathologies, will make it even worse. Half of American adults can't read past the sixth grade level. Half of American adults can't read past sixth grade level. If the medical establishment has gone mad, the arts are even worse, of course. A bad performance of a Beethoven symphony will not kill anyone, but the degradation of culture will have long-term effects that are pernicious in the extreme. There is now a crusade against classical music and opera. While musical organizations are desperate for funding, they are hiring diversity officers with six-figure salaries. That there aren't many blacks in symphony orchestra causes panic in administrators. No one, not even McDonald, observes that American music is largely black. There's no other field outside of athletics where blacks do so well. Could it be that black musicians are just not that interested in symphonic music? Regardless, diversity has metastasized so far that the standard blind audition behind a screen is under attack. Beethoven is rewritten to accommodate today's war on Western civilization. The conservatories are just as mad as the medical schools. Almost no musician will speak on the record about the crazy stuff that permeates classical music and opera. The latter is by nature an insane art. But that was just part of the creative process. Today's race madness could finish off an already vulnerable art form. Opera has been semi-blind in its casting. Blacks can be whites, but whites cannot be blacks. Porgy and Bess cannot be performed by white singers. Verdi's Othello can only be black when he is sung by a black tenor, otherwise he is white. But now we're headed for color-conscious casting practices, which equates to a black person playing a white character as a black one. Ballet and museums are also on the chopping block. Ballet is gender-confused to incoherence. Art is okay as long as it isn't Western. Read the book for the gruesome details. The final section of the volume is devoted to crime and law enforcement. The average reader is probably up to speed on this issue, as it's on TV and in the newspapers on a daily basis. Blacks will continue right after this break.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, Funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I'm completing a review of Heather McDonald's book, When Race Trumps Merit, subtitled How the Pursuit of Equity Sacrifices Excellence, Destroys Beauty, and Threatens Lives. It's such a tale of horrors that a number of alternative subtitles come to. This is a great review, I tell you. This book is focused on what appears to me to be the key issue. I mean, other than the border invasion, other than Ukraine, other than all the other despicable actions of the Biden administration, of the predicament we're in culturally with the whole woke movement, but especially exacerbating racial tensions. The final section of the volume is devoted to crime and law enforcement. The average reader is probably up to speed on this issue as it's on TV and in newspapers on a daily basis. Blacks make up a disproportionate percentage of prisoners. The elites have held this to be the result of white privilege or even supremacy, rather than the result of blacks committing a disproportionate number of criminal offenses. Reducing law enforcement has increased crime, especially in black neighborhoods. In 2020, 74% of shooting victims were black. Only 2% were white. Crimes committed by whites on blacks will make the headlines, while the reverse is either not reported or relegated in the back of the book or dropped after a brief mention. That black males between the ages of 14 and 17 commit lethal gun violence at over 10 times the rate of white and Hispanic teens combined is a verboten topic. Many prosecutors tailor their charges to lesser disparate impact. Anti-cop activists have controlled the public discourse to such an extent that 75% of blacks are convinced they're at greater risk from white supremacy when they're most likely to be harmed by other blacks. McDonald's last pages are a plea for saving meritocracy in Western civilization. She doesn't offer a reassuring depiction of such a salvage job. Those who agree with her are afraid to speak out for fear of losing their jobs. One cancer researcher anonymously said, "The system will have to rot from within and be reinvented and be reinvented, which will take 50 to 100 years. A few interesting observations. This book was published by DW Books, an imprint of the Daily Wire, a conservative website. I'm certain that none of the conventional publishers would touch this book for fear of riot or cancellation. The reaction of the antique media has been what is now routine when confronted with anything outside the narrow path of orthodoxy. Silence. I can find no review of When Race Trumps Merit in any mainstream newspaper or magazine. Essential reading for those brave enough to engage this subject. But alas, I suspect those who need to consider the issue the most will avoid the volume. The truth cannot be hidden forever. Sooner or later, often the latter, it will ooze out. Just fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. I think that's a must read. I encourage everyone, check it out. When Race Trumps Merit. Another piece, this time from Covert Action Magazine, is a review of a book about American history. The review is by Jeremy Kuzmarov, with whom I'm now in correspondence, having sent him my response to his review. U.S. Empire named most murderous killing machine in history. In case you missed, U.S. Empire named most murderous killing machine in history. New study finds U.S. responsible for nearly 300 million deaths and counting. In September, the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation, established by a bipartisan act of Congress in 1993, opened the Victims of Communism Museum in Washington, D.C., which aims to spotlight the plight of the alleged 100 million victims of communist ideology. The 100 million figure was derived from the 1997 book, The Black Book of Communism, published by Harvard University Press, which was replete with falsehoods. The book blamed communist governments for famines that occurred on a more regular basis in capitalist countries and which had resulted from environmental causes, like the Ukrainian famine of the 1930s, Holodomor. If the political culture in the U.S. changes, someone might open a museum dedicated to the victims of capitalism or of the U.S. empire, whose death toll would be much greater than 100 million. A new book by David Michael Smith, Endless Holocaust, Mass Death in the History of the United States Empire, New York, Monthly Review Press 2023, estimated that the U.S. empire is responsible or shares responsibility for close to 300 million deaths. Smith writes that the almost inconceivable loss of life in these endless holocausts arguably makes this country, the United States, exceptional, though in a strikingly different way than its apologists intend. Exceptional in its violence and killing prowess, which is truly shameful. The indigenous people's Holocaust. Smith estimates that 13 million indigenous people were killed in the Holocaust that resulted from the European colonization of North America. Quoting from Roxine Dunbar Ortz, author of An Indigenous People's History of the United States, Smith notes that the indigenous nations of the Western Hemisphere had built great civilizations prior to the arrival of the white man, whose governments, commerce, arts and sciences, agriculture, technologies, philosophies and institutions were intricately developed, and in which human relations were more egalitarian than in Europe. The European lust for wealth and dominance, however, led to mass death and destruction. Characteristic was a Pequot War in Massachusetts, 1636-37, where Smith notes, the Puritan settlers recruited native allies and formed one of the first ranger forces to engage in wilderness warfare, where colonial officials began paying bounties for the scalps of native men, women, and children. About 6,000 Wampanoag, Narragansett, and Nipmuc were killed, and New England's indigenous population declined from at least 70,000 in 1600 to 12,000 by the end of the 1600s. African-American Holocaust. The decline of the indigenous population in the Western Hemisphere forced the European colonizers of North America to begin importing captive people from Africa to labor for them. Smith estimates that approximately 25 million Africans were originally captured, and 12.5 million of them died between capture and embarkation from the slave ships that brought them to North America. 20 million more Africans are believed to have died in slave raids, raising the total that died because of the transatlantic slave trade to 32.5 million. Of those who survived the Middle Passage, many more died from diseases and from beating by their slave masters or by suicide. According to Smith, almost 70% of those who survived the Middle Passage are no longer alive a decade and a half later. Overall, he believes 41.5 million may have died because of slavery. During Reconstruction after the U.S. Civil War, freed slaves died from lynching and in prison after the imposition of black codes. They were also killed by white mobs in race massacres, famously in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where Black Wall Street was burned to the ground. Smith estimates that between the years of 2000 and 2014, another 1 million excess deaths occurred among blacks because of the racist police and criminal justice system and poor living conditions in the ghetto. Mind you, I don't necessarily agree with everything Smith is claiming here, and we've already heard some reason to question some of these assertions, others at the end. The workers' Holocaust. Beside Native and Black Americans, vast numbers of laborers from diverse national backgrounds who have generated unprecedented wealth for the capitalist class have experienced harsh and deadly forms of exploitation in the United States. Approximately 35,000 workers died on the job annually between 1880 and 1900. 700,000 for those two decades alone, as Congress refused to pass basic regulation to protect workers' rights. The Cleveland Citizen wrote that during the Gilded Age, the U.S. became an industrial slaughterhouse. When workers rose up to protest poor conditions in a Rockefeller-owned mine in Ludlow, Colorado in 1914, National Guard troops killed 66 men, women, and children for supporting the strike. Frank Little was an IWW organizer who was lynched in Butte, Montana, after speaking out against U.S. intervention during the Great War. This was part of a large wave of anti-worker violence sanctioned by the U.S. government that extended to torture and lynching of industrial workers of the world organizers who had the audacity to promote worker-controlled industry. Overall, Smith believes that 13.5 million workers have died in the U.S. or outside working for U.S. corporations from disease, sickness, or in anti-labor massacres. From colonial wars to global holocausts. After securing its continental empire by the late 19th century, the U.S. government overthrew the native monarchy in Hawaii and began establishing overseas colonies, like in Puerto Rico, Cuba, and the Philippines, which provided a beachhead into the Asia Pacific. Up to 1 million Filipinos were killed resisting U.S. imperial intervention in the Spanish-American-Philippine War, which analysts described as America's first Vietnam. March 7, 1906, U.S. troops under the command of Major General Leonard Wood massacred as many as 1,000 Filipino Muslims known as Moros, who were taking refuge at Bud Daho, a volcanic crater on the island of Yolo in the southern Philippines. Second and third Vietnams occurred in Nicaragua and Haiti, where the U.S. Army slaughtered hundreds of natives resisting the takeover of their country by U.S. financial interests. U.S. troops marching in Haiti slaughtered thousands of Haitians who formed the CACO to resist the U.S. occupation of their country. The U.S. shared responsibility for the unprecedented global holocaust of World War I, supplying Britain and France with vital loans and sending U.S. troops into the fray in April 1917 in order to defeat a potential imperial challenger, Germany. After the war was over, the Wilson administration deployed U.S. troops into Soviet Russia to try to stamp out the Bolshevik Revolution in alliance with counter-revolutionary forces. But the Bolsheviks triumphed. The Wilson and Harding administration provided substantial support to the invasion of Soviet Russia by Polish militarists. In the 1930s, the U.S. supported fascist dictatorships as a counterweight to communism, including that of Benito Mussolini, Francisco Franco, and Adolf Hitler, whom the U.S. Charge d'Affaires in Berlin, George Gordon, characterized in 1933 as a leader of the moderate section of the Nazi Party, which appealed to all civilized and reasonable people. The U.S. support for the fascist international exemplified its contribution to the origins of World War II, which was even worse in its destruction than was World War I. The U.S. provoked the war in the Pacific theater because it could not tolerate the prospect of an ascendant Japanese empire that would threaten U.S. hegemonic aspirations in Southeast Asia. The Roosevelt administration responded to Japan's rise through a massive naval buildup in the China Sea, an imposition of an oil embargo on Japan, which was designed to provoke the Pearl Harbor attacks because of Japan's dependence on imported oil. According to Smith, between 1775 and 1945, when it succeeded in replacing Great Britain as a dominant world power. The U.S. caused 127 million deaths. These included the hundreds of thousands of Japanese who were killed as a result of the Tokyo firebombing and dropping of the two atomic bombs over Hiroshima and Nagasaki, which killed over 200,000 in the span of a few days. The Holocaust of Vax Americana. Just 5 years after the end of World War II, the U.S. was again at war in Korea, which supported a government that slaughtered over 100,000 of its own people and carried out a bombing campaign that led to the death of about one-tenth of the North Korean population. Further, U.S. troops committed a multitude of massacres, including at Nogun Ri, where several hundred civilians were killed after orders had been given to shoot at North Korean refugees who represent potential fifth columnists. War atrocities near Pyongyang are depicted in a painting in the Sinchon Museum of American War Atrocities. The Korean War was a prelude to further slaughter in Vietnam, where the Mir Gook rule applied, by which civilians were mowed down under the justification they looked like they were Viet Cong, a euphemism for Vietnamese communists. They looked like. In 1965, the CIA backed a coup in Indonesia that resulted in the deaths of millions of alleged communists who are identified by lists provided to the Indonesian military by the CIA. One person suspected of helping to identify names for the blacklist was Ann Dunham, Barack Obama's mother, who worked as an anthropologist in East Java, a communist stronghold. The CIA backed more massacres in defeating left-wing rebels, the Hawks, in the Philippines, and supported the murderous Operation Condor in South America. The latter was modeled after the Phoenix program in Vietnam, where the CIA prepared blacklists and worked with local police agents arrest or kidnap dissidents and torture and often murder them. The killing spree continues. The killing spree of the Cold War years continued in humanitarian interventions of the 1990s, as in the Balkans, Iraq, and Central Africa, and during the Global War on Terror, where the U.S. military perfected new killing techniques, like through the use of unmanned drones. Millions of Muslims were killed in retaliation for the 9/11 terrorist attack, whose perpetrators are to this day not entirely clear. Well, to him, perhaps, but 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Even under a supposedly liberal president, Barack Obama, the U.S. bombed seven Muslim countries, escalated its troop presence in Afghanistan, established many new military bases in Africa, and engaged in regime change operations in several Latin American countries. In his final chapter, Smith details a blowback associated with imperial pursuits, such as the epidemic of mass shootings that has gripped the U.S. over the last decade. Smith emphasized that the U.S. is among the most violent societies in history, with a disturbingly high homicide, police murder, and incarceration rates, and faces the threat of right-wing militias and terrorists. I took exception to those two paragraphs and wrote to the reviewer and the author about them. No end in sight. With the exception of slavery and the genocide against Native Americans, the endless Holocaust associated with the American Empire are rarely discussed in high school or even college courses and are not very well known by the public, despite a rich scholarly literature about them. This is because the public has been fed a steady diet of propaganda and bad revisionist history, like that advanced by the Victims of Communism Museum, which demonized left-wing ideologies and tried to validate the American way. If more people knew the truth, a strong resistance movement to U.S. imperialism might develop. I could draw on the precedent of the early 20th century anti-imperialist league supported by luminaries such as Mark Twain. Until that time, Smith predicts that the succession of catastrophes will continue, and as its primacy erodes, the U.S. ruling class may act like a wounded beast and commit heinous new crimes against the people of the world, including the people of this country, to maintain as much wealth and power as possible. Now, while I do not regard that as flawless, and in particular have written to the reviewer and the author about all the fake shootings that have been taking place in the United States, of which he appears to be oblivious, and most certainly the major threat to the nation, I think, does not come from the right at all, but rather from the left. So we shall see how that plays out.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice.
anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
What's especially important about those two books I've just reviewed or shared reviews of is that they offer points of view that are not common, that you're not going to get from other sources. And it's indispensable in thinking things through to contemplate alternative points of view, alternative hypotheses. If, for example, you'd only ever heard reports about the horrific shooting at Sandy Hook, it would probably never cross your mind to even contemplate the possibility it could have been a staged or fake event, especially when it was only because Obama had nullified the Smith-Mundt Act by the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012. That it was legal for the government to commit fraudulent staged events to deceive the American people. Before that, it was illegal, and appropriately so. But Barack Obama cares so much about the American people, he felt it was important to deceive them, to cheat them into a false belief for their own benefit. This is Barack Obama's version of paternalism. Paternalism being the government making decisions for you that it regards as in your best interest, not judging you to have the competence to decide what's in your best interest for yourself. So, not only Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, Orlando, Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, Las Vegas, Uvalde, Buffalo, Nashville, now Allen, Texas. Based on the collaborative research I've done, and I published books on five of those, plus the moon landing, which of course Amazon has banned. Those were all staged, phony events brought to us as the legacy of Barack Obama. Meanwhile, a dear friend of former Army Major William Fox noticed an interview between Jeff Rentz and a fellow by the name of Mitchell Henderson about Ukraine and where it's all going. I had a show on Rentz for quite a while, but it was costly. Rents is, I've had shows on GCN, RBN, probably just about everywhere. Rents was the only one where he actually charges his host to put their shows on the air, and I just couldn't afford it. And when I informed him I was coming here to Revolution Radio, he was so pissed that he kicked me off 2 weeks early, even though I was paid to the end of the month. In any case, I'm joyful to be here at Revolution Radio. Now, Jeff and I got along famously up to that point. He would not only do my shows, but he would feature me on his. Las Vegas, I think he would portray Las Vegas as a turning point, but it was simply my leaving to come here to Revolution Radio that had him pissed. But Las Vegas wasn't a mass murder. It was a movie. They played a pre-recorded soundtrack over the PA system, and they had coordinated special visual effects such as a light flashing in the fourth floor of the Mandalay Bay main part of the hotel to simulate a machine gun firing. No real bullets were being fired, but it sure sounded as though they were. So far as I can discern, the only corpse related to Las Vegas was that of the presumptive Steuben Paddock in the suite. And we're not quite sure about that because the death was staged. As Scott Bennett, former Army Intel and PsyOps officer, observed, the shell casing were on top of the blood and they should have been underneath. And they included CO2 cartridges and blanks. I mean, the prop master just threw down a handful of shell casings, not recognizing they could be identified. In any case, Jeff has taken the position that something real took place in Las Vegas that I've been unable to discern. Mona Lexa Presley did brilliant work on Las Vegas, tracking the obituaries, finding when they weren't merely photoshopped variations of one another, meaning the same victim appearing more than once. They were based on persons who died in different states on different dates and from different causes of death. She also turned up the crime map from 8 p.m. before the shooting to 8 p.m. the following day, and there's not a single violent crime related to the crime map, just disturbing the peace, stolen vehicle possession. I think there might be one drunk and disorderly. And a Facebook friend at the time posted out, she called the three hospitals closest to their concert area and asked if they'd had any gunshot admittees that night. And all three reported no, they had not. The third adding helpfully, you're calling about that drill. Just check with the local police, but no one was shot. I knew I've got a mountain of evidence here. It was deplorable, in my opinion, when this gruesome trio of Scorpio, Mike and Clint went after Mona, who's done just wonderful work. So let it be known, I'm a huge fan of Mona. Alexis Presley has done just super work. Mona alone in Las Vegas has made more important contribution to research on false flags than that gang of misfits. Well, here's Jeff introducing this guy, and because it's a lengthy interview, I'm certainly not going to get through it all, but I think parts of it are certainly worth sharing, and I'm grateful to Bill Fox for sending it to me. Rants. Ukraine is in the news. Yes, there's a war going on. Yes, not just a war between one country and another. It's a war between Russia and the United States and NATO, with a playing board, as it were, the chessboard being Ukraine. But it's not a chessboard that is really restricted to the boundaries of Ukraine. It's a chessboard that runs all over the Western world. It's east against west. But it's more than that. It's hard to quantify all of it because it really is a war against Christianity, a war against kindness, a war against goodness. And if you doubt that, then you haven't been paying attention. You do not live in a society and call that society viable, credible, and valuable and worthy if that society is lined for the manufacture and distribution of handbooks for masturbation for little children, preschoolers. This is where we are. As you well know, high school, middle school, even elementary school are where this whole transgender confusion is now being sown in the minds and psyches of our kids. There's a war on childhood and children, literally a war to the death. These people are not going to quit. They're trying to take it all down, and that's the plan. So this is a world war already, even though they're not throwing nukes yet. That may not be far away. Mitchell Henderson is back tonight. Mitch, welcome back. How are you doing? Feeling okay? And let me say, I thought that was a superb introduction by Rance. I'm doing fine. I feel good. Excellent. So speaking of nuclear war, that's where I want to start. The drift toward nuclear war, okay, says Henderson. Rance, if it is a drift, I would go so far as to say it's a headlong dive into the abyss. I mean, I don't know how else. How can they avoid nuclear war at this point after all they've done? How many red lines have the Russian put up and have we stomped upon? How many more are they going to accept and tolerate? I don't know. It's a mystery to me, but go ahead. Mitch. And there are countries that have no power at all in the world that are trying to make this nuclear war happen. Estonia is talking about making a blockade on the Baltic Sea so that Russia cannot use its main port at St. Petersburg and all that area. A blockade is an act of war. If Estonia and Finland care to blockade St. Petersburg, Russia can attack them. It's legal under the UN for them to attack those countries. And if they attack Estonia and Finland, those are NATO nations, so they have to attack us too. Keep in mind that Russia is fully aware that if we step up our involvement and we start blockading them and we start setting up no-fly zones and we start sending troops in, they know what the end of that is going to be, okay? That is very disadvantageous to them. That is an existential threat to them. So what they need to do is just push the button at that time, okay? As soon as they lather it all up, I mean, why go through all the conventional stuff and then maybe a nuclear war? Why not just go directly to nuclear war? But there's something else the United States is planning that's going to make it more likely to happen, okay? So let me go over that, Prince. Okay. So the United States is really good at miscalculating, Henderson continued, hubris has made us ignorant of reality. A plan for Ukraine is to set off a tactical nuclear device at the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant as a false flag to justify American and NATO involvement in the war. We will viciously attack the Russian Black Sea fleets as well as attack air and ground bases within Russia with conventional weapons. Then we will flood Ukraine west of the Dnieper and along the Black Sea with NATO ground troops under the belief that the Russian will not shoot at them. NATO has already set up a no-fly zone over Odessa province, and they will extend that to cover Ukraine west of the Dnieper. Editor's note. A search of NATO no-fly zone over Odessa yields results show that Ukrainian government has requested it, but no sign has been granted yet. That's from Bill Fox. Of course, it is our space decoder ring. Bill adds, something like a plastic play toy for little boys found at the bottom of a Cracker Jack box. That tells them that it'll work, okay, because it won't work. What it does It's condescending. It's smug. It's arrogant. It presumes weakness on the Russian part. It presumes the Russians really have no reason to fight. There's no reason for them to fight. They're not fighting for anything, okay? That's the way we look at it. But the fact is, they are fighting for everything. They are fighting for their very existence. They are fighting for their God, okay? And we are not. We are fighting for Satan, all right? You know, that's how they see it, okay? Jeff, I know. Henderson. So the CIA has been doing psychological preparation of the battlefield since November. In November 2022, Lavrov, the Russian foreign minister, of course, said very clearly at the UN that if America and NATO cross the red line of posing an existential threat to the Russian nation, Russia would use nuclear weapons directly against the U.S. and NATO. From that very moment, the government and mainstream media have been constantly repeating warnings on the stark response if Russia uses a nuke in Ukraine. Russia has no need to do that. Ukraine cannot win and cannot take its territory back. So I repeat this lie in order to make people believe that Russia is saying that they will use a nuke in Ukraine to use that nuclear attack as a pretext for NATO to intervene in the war. This will be a holy light crusade at the UN to crush Russia because they use a nuclear weapon, okay? Our miscalculation is that we don't think Russia will go nuclear if we do this scenario. Russia is very clear. The second we set off a nuke in a false flag operation in Zaporizhia, Russia will launch a massive all-out nuclear attack on the U.S. and NATO. We are going to die by the millions for the disgusting, incestuous, pedophile, Biden insane plan to take down Russia. The narrative is set. The UN blames Russia for firing on the nuclear plant. The plant is occupied and run by Russia. Why would they bomb their own people? They would do it because the UN says so, and because everyone believes what the UN says is true. People, what the UN says is a satanic lie. Everything they say, no matter what it is, it's all a lie all the time. So in the near future, people will believe that Russia would nuke its own people, okay? This is ridiculous, okay? It's like they blew up their own pipeline. They'll blew up their own largest nuclear power plant in Europe. They'll just blow it up. The Russians will do that just to spite us, I guess. I don't know. Rants, this is so stupid. So stupid it defies description. Henderson, yes. Rants, it has nothing to do with logical thought. Nothing. Henderson, not at all. Rents, we should not even be talking about it. Henderson, so the mainstream media in the West keep putting out false stories about Russian casualties and Russian troops and tactical failures. They want to create a narrative for Russia is failing horribly. The upcoming major counteroffensive will soon be launched in Zaporizhia. And Russian troops will be routed, causing Russia to get desperate and use a tactical nuke in Zaporizhia. This is their scenario. Okay? The press is building up. I mean, it's competing. You can find just as many videos saying about the glorious NATO victories in Ukraine as you will the Russian victories, okay? So it's nonsense. Right now, as we speak, American soldiers are using chemical weapons to assist the Ukrainians. This directly violates the 1997 Convention on Chemical Weapons, which the United States signed. This is a war crime. Biden is a commander-in-chief. He is responsible. So is Lloyd Austin, the first black Secretary of Defense. He's a war criminal. Brent, what a loser, what a creep. Oh, God. Henderson, I think he's a definite affirmative action promotion, and his leadership is non-existent. He's the most mediocre Secretary of Defense we've ever had, and he has destroyed the greatest military power that ever existed. They are mixing CS gas with smoke to obscure the Ukrainians' attacking units. Since the Ukrainians do not have enough artillery, they are mixing tear gas into the smoke to blind the Russian troops. Yes, tear gas may not be used in war. It can be used on civilians, but never, never is permissible to be used on troops. This is an agreement the whole world made, okay? Prior to the smoke, they released Agent BZ on Russian troops. This is an illegal incapacitating gas that causes LSD-like effects. It is against the law to use it on troops, and it's illegal to be used on civilians, okay? There is no legal use for BZ. A lot of people probably aren't very familiar with BZ, Agent BZ. There was a movie, okay, Rance? I don't know much about BZ, Mitch. Well, BZ is an incapacitating agent. It's actually like a very powerful hallucinogen. That's 48 to 72 hours. There was a movie years ago called Jacob's Ladder with Tim Robbins. It was talking about Agent BZ, Rance. How long does it last? 24 to 48? That's a long time. Henderson, 48 to 72. That's a huge trip. Yes. Well, it's meant to incapacitate troops long enough for you to do what you want to do, you know. Yes. Go in and kill them. Mitch, yes. So where are they doing this? They're doing it in the Zaporizhzhia nuclear plant area, the general area, where the great Ukrainian offensive is supposed to take place. Why is this significant? Because the United States must cover up their criminal use of chemical agents, and a tactical nuke will destroy the evidence. See, they're sticking their necks out with chemical warfare. Just look at this. It is like the world banned landmines, but the world gives Ukraine landmines to use in Ukraine. The world bans cluster munitions, and the West supplies cluster munition to Ukraine, okay? The world bans chemical weapons. And the United States is there using chemical weapons on civilians and soldiers in Ukraine in war. France, nuclear weapons as well. DU is a nuclear weapon, so there's another one. Henderson, and DU. The British sent a bunch of DU over there, and the Russians promptly blew that up. And when they blew it up, there was a lot of fallout going downrange and stuff. Some of that may be overblown. How much they say, oh, there is gamma radiation and stuff. Listen, depleted uranium is uranium with all the most radioactive isotopes taken out of it. Editor's note, Bill Fox. If you want to get technical, it's the most fissile isotopes with optimal properties for making nuclear bombs that are extracted. See the wiki article, Depleted Uranium, for detailed explanation. That's what it is depleted of, radioactive isotopes. Depleted uranium is mildly radioactive. It's mostly alpha and beta radiation, and you could hold it in your hand. I wouldn't put it under my pillow and sleep on it, but, you know, you can hold it. You can be exposed to it. It's not enough radiation to harm you. I mean, I spent years in tanks just loaded with depleted uranium and did not have that ill effect. Rance, interesting. Mitch, but you know, inside the round, of course, it is shielded a little bit, but really it's only a problem when you fire it because it's pyrophoric. What it does is strike the steel of an opponent's tank, and as soon as it hits, it starts burning at the tip of the depleted uranium rod, okay? It catches on fire. Well, that fire, it sort of sucks the rod in, and this is in very slow motion. So the rod hits, it ignites, and the burning at the tip of the uranium rod which is ignited by friction, sucks the rod through. As soon as there's a pinhole on the inside of the tank and the air hits it, it rapidly rips through, spalls a bunch of metal off the inside. It rattles around inside and turns the troops into spaghetti, okay, or lasagna, whatever. France got it. I read somewhere, just a real quick aside here, that when the DU round is fired, it actually is already in an early incendiary state as it is transiting toward the target. And when it hit, it does exactly what you described. It comes out there so hot, it's already basically burning. I don't know if that's true, Mitch. But it does get friction in the air. But the fire begins the moment it strikes the tank. The friction is striking the tank, sets a rod on fire, is actually sucking the rod in through the steel and stuff. It's very good tank round, I'll tell you. It kills tanks good. But you know, it's not good enough to be used around American troops or Allied troops. But it's okay to poison civilians, innocent civilians, with all of this. That's perfectly okay. Rance used it in Iraq. He covered Iraq from one end to the other with it, Henderson. Yeah, so keep in mind what Iraq has to deal with, God only knows. I'm inviting callers now. The number 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452, and I'll continue with this interview.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We're waiting on James. Don't forget to give us a call, 540-352-4452. Oh, wow.
Thanks, Mitchell.
There he is. He's coming back.
Very much, my friend. Have we got a caller or no?
Oh, no, not yet.
That's not a problem. 540-352-4452. I continue. Henderson, well, even the explosion of the depleted uranium rod looks like a nuclear explosion almost. You know, it has a mushroom cloud. It's pretty awesome. So keep in mind that all the cheating and violating international law that NATO's doing, supplying Ukraine depleted uranium rods, giving Ukraine cluster bombs to use, supplying Ukraine with landmines, when nations do this, they are very guilty. They must win the war, or they could go to prison or be executed. So they're going to be this shows they're very committed to this war with Russia, okay? Because they're pulling out the stops, doing every dirty, filthy thing they can. They don't care about humanity. They don't care about decency. They don't care about anything. So I had to research whether we would use these nasty weapons. Yes. We fully intend to. The U.S. Army labs in Ukraine are preparing to unleash biological weapons to kill Russian people and not accept credit for it. They will begin to use more deadly nuclear weapons that can persist for centuries, making areas unlivable. We want to use the false flag tactical nuke at the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, so that it will spread all over the radioactive material eastward into Russia. We will deny any such action, just as we denied blowing up the Nord Stream pipeline, just like we denied trying to assassinate Putin. The American public may not know any of this, but the Russians do. I can personally attest to the fact that Russian radioelectronic warfare is more advanced than ours. I am sorry I cannot get really deep into it because the class I got was extremely highly classified. So the U.S. Army taught me that there's no such thing as communication security. Every plan we discuss, they can hear. They know what our plans are. It is only the American people who do not know. And I should reiterate at this point that in the past, when I was on active duty in the Army as an officer, I was also a unit security manager. What the security manager does is he reviews classified material to determine who can see it, because they have to have a need to know and they have to have the proper security clearance. So I'd have to review it and decide who can see it and who can't. Well, out of all the classified documents I saw over the years, let me tell you, if it is classified top secret, it is secret from the American people. It is not secret from the enemy. If it's classified secret, it's secret from the American people. It's not secret to the enemy. The enemy knows that stuff, okay? How do I know? Because I read our military intelligence, and I read what they discovered in their military intelligence, and it matched, okay? So the real enemy of the United States government isn't Russia. The real enemy of the United States government is the people of the United States of America. France. Incredible. Henderson. They are the enemy of the government. The government hates you and the government will deal with you, okay? So best thing we can do is make it as public as possible that maybe someone will have enough sense to pull the plug on the suicidal strategy. We have to let people know that if a nuke goes off in Ukraine, it is America who set it off. It is not Russia, okay? The more that it is repeated, the less likely they are to do this stupid, foolish thing that's going to get all of us killed. We are fighting for our lives too, people. Russia is not our enemy. China is not our enemy. Iran is not our enemy. North Korea is not our enemy. Those countries don't have anything to say about what you do. As a matter of fact, you can even travel in those countries. They'll not give you a bad time, okay? So your only enemy is the government of the United States. It is the only enemy the American people have, the only real enemy we have. So Ukraine just simply is not worth the blood of a single American soldier. It is not worth my children's lives or my grandchildren's lives, but Joe Biden wants to kill us all for the sake of Ukraine, for his power, for his personal power. That's why he would kill us all. Rance, it's Obama Biden. Biden is not even worthy of mentioning as president. It's Obama and his controllers above him. But whatever, I get the point. Biden is a figurehead. That's why I call him O'Biden most of the time. Oh, yes. That is very trenchant. So another problem that's coming up with them, and that is European awakening. Europe has not been united toward Biden's woke war on Russia. Hungary and Turkey have opposed Ukraine being in NATO, even though NATO's Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said that all NATO members are in support of Ukraine joining NATO. No, they are not. Hungary and Turkey do not supply weapons to Ukraine. Croatia will not permit Ukrainian soldiers to be trained on their territory. Not only that, but we are up to as many as 40% of the people in Europe against the NATO war. They are sympathetic to Russia. 40% of their population. That's more people than support Joe Biden, okay? So to show that Europe's woke are not willing to blindly follow the American woke, I want to read you a statement by Claire Daly. She's a Marxist, an atheist, a cultural Marxist, an environmentalist, and a woke Irish member of the European Parliament. She's a major woke influencer in Europe. In her speech to the European Parliament last week, she said this, and I am quoting here. NATO has overstretched themselves. The people of Europe and the people of the world have absolutely seen through them, and their days are numbered. We see the jingoism wearing off. The vacuous call of standing with Ukraine is ringing hollow now. Ordinary people can see that this war is being financed and paid for with the lives of the Ukrainians and Russians, and that the living standards of the people of Europe, and all for what? All the line pockets of military-industrial complex, which has controlled the U.S. presidency no matter which side manages to win. And the military-industrial complex, which has now taken over the so-called leaders of Europe, who are not leaders at all. They are actually just followers and wimps, generally in the main. So they may think that they have their war now, and they have their military hardware. But it is a last-ditch stand before the people of Europe are beginning to wake up. The people of the rest of the world have long seen through NATO and the U.S. The global north is now a minority in the new world order, which won't be based on the dollar. Will be based on a new system of multilateralism. The old colonial days of where the Western white men came in and dominated, they are gone now. The present period, dangerous and tragic as it is really just their death agony. Rents, that's quite a statement. Okay, Rents, hold on right there now to pause a bit. Rents, back. Okay. Back with Mitch. Let me ask you just a quick question. This is a conjecture, of course. What are your feelings about the chances of nuclear war, let us say, in the next 3 to 6 months or 3 to 6 weeks? How much more is Russia going to take? I guess that is the question. Henderson, Willis, and Rance, chemical weapons. Go ahead, Henderson. So at a point now, what's happening is a lot of people are complaining that Russia is not doing anything. Okay, well, yes, they are. The head of the Ukrainians are throwing themselves at them, the Russians. They, the Russians, are destroying their Ukrainian army, which is a goal of an army. So what's going to happen is that they, the Russians, are going to start their offensive. That's when their offensive is successful, when the United States is going to pull all this stuff. We are going to do this out of desperation, is what we're going to do it out of. And it's going to get us all killed. I mean, listen, these people up in Washington are not leaders. They don't even know what leadership is about. They are so star-focused. They are servants of Satan. Everything they do is to serve Satan, okay? Everything they do. So I think the time to watch is before July 1st. Be very nervous between now and July 1st, because that's when all this is likely to take place, okay? So if we get through to September without an imminent nuclear war, it may not necessarily be going to happen, because by September, Russia is clearly going to be winning, okay? Rents, do you at this point think there's going to be a meaningful counteroffensive by Ukraine? Do they have enough men and material to do that? Henderson, no, they don't. I'll get into that, because their counteroffensive is now about publicity, that's all. I think you're right, I agree. So, two of Europe's major armies are combat ineffective, Germany and the United Kingdom. Germany spent the last decade dissolving its best trained and equipped formations because they had too many white men in it. Imagine that. Too many white men in Germany. The United Kingdom did the same thing. They will not recruit straight white men for their ranks. If you're a straight white male in Great Britain, you cannot serve in the military. So they have no military. Neither country has a military that's any good for anything. They are combat ineffective. The same is happening to the United States military. They do not want straight white males. And if you are one, it will be held against you daily. I watched a video just the other day called The 11th Order on YouTube. YouTube description added by Bill Fox. The award-winning short film, The 11th Order, is based on the true story of Lance Corporal Jordan Hayter and Corporal Jonathan Yale, two United States Marines, who stood their ground to stop a suicide truck bomb, saving the lives of the 150 Marines and Iraqi police behind them. Written, directed, and edited by Marine veteran Joshua DeFore, the film was made in collaboration with the families of the fallen Marines and funded largely by the veteran and active duty military communities. It's about some Marines who saved their buddies and earned the Navy Cross and stuff. But it was so gay that I was disgusted by it. Seen 218 to 525 into the film, Bill Fox adds, depict a black male Marine and two white male Marines engage in buddy-buddy banter in a truck while in an after-hours off-duty capacity stateside before deployment to Iraq, followed by a scene where a white Marine talks to a black Marine lying in bed at night. In the first scene in the truck, the black Marine makes a playful move to fellate a white male Marine. In both scenes, the Marines say, "I love you," back and forth to each other. And the whites use the same jargon as ghetto blacks. Gay armies, like the Dutch army in Srebrenica in Bosnia that stood by and allowed Serb troops to massacre about 8,000 Muslim men and boys that they were tasked with protecting. This is what gay soldiers do. Why is the American military avoiding recruiting straight white men? Because the last thing the government wants is a military that'll support the Constitution and be loyal to white Americans. White people are the enemy. They tell you so daily. Listen, look at Biden the other day at Howard University commencement. White supremacism is the most vital threat to America? Well, no, it is not. The only danger to America is the government of the United States. The only danger to the Constitution of the United States is the government of the United States. The only danger to the Bill of Rights and your rights is the government of the United States. They are the enemy of the Constitution, the enemy of the people, the enemy of God, the enemy of all decency, okay? The ultimate duty of the U.S. military is to murder white people. None of the Western militaries are trained or equipped to fight Russia or China. So they are really trying to bluff their way in this. But, you know, they don't live in reality. They are delusional. The Russian and Chinese are not delusional. They are looking at things realistically. So let me go over the war in Ukraine and try to get a picture of where it's going. In the past few weeks, we have seen results of an operation that Russia started when the United States decided to ship Patriot missile systems to serve Ukraine. The operation of purpose of Operation Safe Skies was to launch missiles into Western Ukraine, and the Patriot missile was shot down, leading to less missiles actually detonating in Western Ukraine. This lulled NATO into complacency. They also had troops concentrating in areas. They, the Russians, remained patient as NATO concentrated troops commanding control facility and logistics for the great Ukrainian counteroffensive. The Russians did not harass or destroy Ukrainian effort to build its forces. As the months passed, Ukrainians became more complacent and operational security slipped. The Ukrainian people hate the Zelensky government with a passion. This is a boon for Russian intelligence because it gives them the most critical source of intelligence, human intelligence. Ukraine has made it an official policy to execute Ukrainians who do not evacuate toward Ukraine, but head toward the safety of Russian-controlled areas. So, with months of NATO building up logistic and train facilities, with information being collected by Russia, Russia used their better missiles, the Kanzhal supersonic missiles, to attack these troop and supply depot and destroy Ukraine's warfighting abilities. Starting May 4th, Russia has stricken these military depots with great effect. The Patriot missiles have not shot even one down. The Russians have made use of the fact that the Patriot systems created a false sense of security the Russians were able to exploit. We know going in that these Patriots could not shoot down Kinzhal missiles. As a matter of fact, every day, the Ukrainian government puts out how many Russian missiles they shot down. And Russia has noted that actually Ukraine has succeeded in shooting more Russian missiles down than Russia has fired, like twice as many as they fired. So it's just propaganda, war propaganda. They have four axes of operation. First and primary is Ukrainian counteroffensive in Bakhmut. Ukrainians will not give this up, although NATO and everybody wants them to. Still over half the Ukrainian forces are on this front. The counterattacks were expected. The Russians dug in along territory behind their lines. They allowed the Ukrainians to advance across open, low-lying, flat fields, where they could be effectively destroyed. The Ukrainians are advancing to the north of Bakhmut and to the south. PMC Wagner's boss, Prigozhin, had open disputes with the Russian army to give the impression things were not going well with the Wagner group. They would never allow a Russian military officer to play this role for purposes of discipline. This encouraged Ukrainians to send even more troops into the kill box of Bakhmut. Remember, the primary objective of a military is to destroy the enemy's army. That's exactly what Russia is doing and will continue to do until they launch their offensive when the military is ready and not by political pressure. The second front, the front where the great Ukrainian mother of all counteroffensives is to take place, actually, has already had its offensive set back by the destruction of the 9 brigade headquarters that were to command the attack. They will now be relegated to fake attack on the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant to give the excuse that the Ukrainian forces were about to seize the nuclear power plant, and Russia had to fire a tactical nuclear weapon there to prevent losing the war. That is the exact wording. This is the unimaginative and juvenile operation to create a false flag operation to allow NATO intervention in the war. My fellow citizens, this is the plan that got you and all you love dead, sacrificed in a stupid bid to give woke faggot pedophiles political power over the world. The third front is Kherson, to spoil the Russian attack against the Mykolaiv and Odessa provinces. The Russians like this because it's sending more Ukrainian army for them to be destroyed. The fourth is with Moldova. Ukraine is determined to invade Transnistria to grab the huge ammo and weapons dump there. They are going to have to break international law to invade Moldova because it's a neutral nation. Poor Moldova does not yet know it. But the United States and NATO are supporting Ukraine invading them. The Ukrainian plan is not just to invade Transnistria, but they intend to take the Moldova capital as well. What are the Russian intentions? Russia also has four axes of advance. In the west, Russian forces will stream south from the Belarusian border along the Polish border, headed south to cut off Ukraine from further NATO supplies and keep NATO troops from flooding east across the border into Ukraine. In the south, Russian forces will take western Kherson, Mykolaiv and Odessa provinces in order to prevent NATO troops from occupying southwest Ukraine. It will also cut Ukraine off from the sea and from getting supplied by sea. This has the most likely danger of setting up World War III because NATO already has a no-fly zone there, and Russia and military NATO forces are most likely to come into direct conflict there. Bill Fox adds, note, while it's true the Zelensky regime has requested a NATO no-fly zone, run SwissCow.com search, NATO no-fly zone over Odessa for current status. Brent, sure. Henderson, in the center, Russia must be ready for the false flag nuclear attack that will take place there. They know it will take place. They know everything we are going to do. NATO thinks this will forestall Russian troops from moving north along the eastern bank of the Dnieper to cut off eastern Ukraine. Russia will not be surprised by the American nuclear attack on a nuclear power plant. They have taken this into account and will definitely launch their attack north in spite of it. Remember, if America sets this nuke off, the nuclear World War III will start that very second. Russia will respond in total nuclear war. America is over. We are over. Why will you be dying so that homosexuals and trannies can be free? You will be dying for your own oppression. The fourth front is on the eastern. This is where Russia wastes Ukrainian lives and equipment. Normally, you have to go on the offensive to destroy the enemy's army. But the Ukrainian army is committing suicide. You see, you need a 10-to-1 advantage on the offensive, so Ukraine is throwing human lives away from political optics. Absolutely sensational. I can't thank Bill Fox enough for arranging this. There is more to it. I will be publishing it on my blog at jameshfetzer.org. Meanwhile, just a few sentences more. Brent got it. Henderson, you see, the woke believe in visualization. If you visualize something, you make it real. This is magical thinking. It's like the old visualized world peace thing. You visualize it and it comes true in a new age homosexual way somehow. I don't know. So woke believe that you only have to control the narrative to make their truth come to life. This is also why censoring is critical for them. Woke have to point out the narrative. Russia's weak and incompetent. Our faggots and sissies are more powerful than Russian straight people. That is our narrative. Thank you for being here. Back on Friday.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global...